All right, good morning.
I pray you've been blessed already by the worship team. Amen. Thankful for what they're doing and the way they serve us. I appreciate them so much. And again, just being open to the Spirit of God, His presence as we come together. I do want to welcome you today as we are, as Doug mentioned, in the beginning or in the middle of our Sunday school series. And the Sunday school series, what we're doing is we're covering a lot of the famous Bible stories that we know from the Bible that many of you heard when you were kids. Who here can remember what we've covered so far? What are the stories that we've covered so far? Can you name one? Okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace. What's another one? Daniel, okay. Noah, okay. Esther, there you go. Good job. Good job. You guys are doing well. Okay, we're remembering. You're remembering. Good job, class. All right. Good job. You must be, that means you must be, you. Some of you must be using your doodle sheets, okay, which we give you. All right. If you don't have your doodle sheet, raise your hand. I know for some of you, taking notes is a challenge, okay? It's the same way it was when you were 8, all right? And the reason you took notes in school was because you couldn't remember everything. And the reason I take notes now at the age of 63 is because I remember less now than I did then. And I need to remind myself what's going on. So I take opportunity, use your phone, use the sheet. But again, I encourage you to, if you're going to absorb what God wants to speak, if you want to use it, if you want to go forward with it, man, taking notes makes a difference. Okay, it takes a difference. All right, and again, you can say, "What if I?" Again, I know. Again, listen, this is no extra charge. I'm giving you this today. If you're saying, "But you know, I can't concentrate if I take notes." Okay, but what is your plan then to recall what's going on? What is your plan? Are you going to listen to the message on Monday again? I mean, what are you going to do to get, because I want the word to sink into my heart, right? I don't want to be a forgetful hearer. I want to be an effective doer, okay? And again, I can't do that unless I'm getting this into me and thinking it in. So say that again. That's always a challenge for me, okay? I don't want to be a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, Okay, that was just for you, Rita. All right. Now, snack time is coming. You got your snack? Okay, but again, and just like Sunday school, you can't eat it until it's time. Okay, we've got to wait for the right moment for that to happen. Now, how many of you have ever delayed doing something that you know you should have done already? Right? Okay, yeah, listen again. What could that be? That could be making the doctor's appointment, right? It could be something like that. It could be your auto inspection. Some of you are probably riding around with an expired sticker right now. It could be confronting someone that needs confronted. Okay, but we put things off in our lives. And when we do that, it always makes matters worse. They don't get better when we put things off. You know, when it comes to a house or a car, we call those things deferred maintenance. Okay, we defer maintenance. And you know, if we look at the illustration of this house here, this house did not get in this condition in a minute. It got in this condition because over time, maintenance is deferred. We keep putting off. You keep putting off the paint job. You keep putting off updating things. You keep putting off taking care of the plumbing. We keep putting these things off. And what happens in time? It winds up costing you more than it would have if you'd have just done the maintenance. Say ouch, all right? Right, that's reality. We defer things. And what's interesting, when it comes to things like this, like even a home, people will tell you, I need to get to that. They'll tell you, yeah, oh man, I got to get that done. But then we don't do it. We don't do that thing, which again, of course, is foolishness. Now, if you don't walk in surrender to Jesus Christ, if you don't walk in full surrender to Him, you're actually in spiritual deferred maintenance. You're in spiritual deferred maintenance. You are in a decline. You're going down. The value of life is going down if we're not going to walk in obedience and take care of the maintenance that it takes to walk in God. And listen, if you defer taking care of things spiritually, you don't just feel dry. You don't just feel empty. But listen, it leads to broken down lifestyle. It leads to a life that lacks peace. It leads to a life that lacks joy, a lack of success, a lack of passion. That's what happens when you defer maintenance, when we're not those who are focused on the things that God is instructing us to do. Okay, there's no way that we can say we're excelling if we're not maintaining. There's a maintenance that has to happen. And what's interesting too is that as Christians, so many people have told me, yeah, like, man, I know, man, I gotta pick up my Bible. You know, I need to read. Or yeah, I've gotta take care of this attitude in my life, man. But hey, this is like the only issue I still got, so I'm okay. You know, no, that's deferred maintenance. Okay, and it leads to a broken life. And many of us are living in brokenness still in areas of our lives just because we're just not doing what God said to do. We're deferring maintenance of our lives. And we even see it. We can even tell people what it is that we need to do. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at really what some people call the disobedient prophet, which is Jonah, the story of Jonah and the whale. And we want to take some clues from his life to help us avoid this hard-hearted, ignorant disobedience to what God has spoken to us to do. Because God wants us. He wants us to live life in an ascending way. That, man, it's going better and better. Glory to glory, the Bible says. He wants us to live glory to glory. But that can't happen if we're deferring things. So, if you're following your doodle sheet class, okay, the big idea is God's supernatural favor and success can be enjoyed by all who rightly respond to God's call in these three areas. Rightly responding to his call, rightly responding to his grace, and rightly responding to his heart. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and God, we thank you, God, for your presence. Lord Jesus, we're just asking, Father, for you to move this morning. God, challenge us. Like I said, bring conviction where we need it. God, that you could bring us to where you long for us to be, that we could be sons and daughters who could walk in the fullness of the blessing that our Heavenly Father, that you won for us. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be speaking about Jonah. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to the book. Obviously, it's four chapters long. We're not going to be going through verse by verse. But, of course, the book is broken up into these four chapters. And they read almost like a play, like scenes or acts in a play. But in some ways, it's like a dark comedy. You know, a dark comedy is when it covers something that has serious subject matter, but people don't like to talk about it. Okay, it's serious, but it does read this way. And in each scene, what's interesting is we see a prophet of God, Jonah, who is contrasted, a prophet of God who doesn't listen to what God says. He rejects God's counsel, and it's contrasted to those who do listen to God's counsel and even affects, even things in nature that listen to God. But the prophet does not listen. For instance, some of you remember, there's a storm. The storm listens to God. Right? The storm listens to God. The pagan sailors, they're trying to listen to God. A fish listens to God. The people of Nineveh listen to God. There's even a worm that listens to God. But Jonah, the prophet, he doesn't listen to God. He doesn't listen. It's a unique story in such a way. And it's because the things that should be listening to God don't, and the things that should be listening don't, and the things that you wouldn't think would do, they do. And that's what we have. And so what it appears, of course, is that Jonah really refuses to see his bad behavior. He refuses to hear what God is speaking. He refuses, and he wants to continue along his own path. And of course, it begs the question, man, how often do we do that? How often am I one who I'm hearing God speak, but I'm not responding in a positive way? I want to keep my own way, my own lifestyle. Okay, let's dig in here. Said Jonah 1. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa," it's a city on the coast, "found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." So what we have here is Jonah has received a clear call from God. A clear call. How many of you would like to have a real clear call from God? Right? Because so many of us, we struggle with, God, what are you telling me to do? I mean, so many times I hear people say, man, if I only knew what God wanted me to do, I'd do it. If I only could comprehend what it was, if it was just clear. Well, here, Jonah has a clear call from God. God said, I want you to get up and go to Nineveh. That's what he wants. That's what God's saying. This is a call from God. Okay, but there's just one problem. Jonah hates the Ninevites. He hates them. He hates them with a passion. Now, why? Why would that be? Well, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. It was one of the world powers at the time. And their foreign policy was one that included pillage, killing, okay, rape, slavery. Okay, and that's the nation that they were. Now, and I want you to catch this. Jonah is raised in Galilee. He is very close to the border, the northern border of Israel, right next to Assyria. Okay, so chances are he's very familiar with the barbaric acts that the Assyrians are known to practice. The Assyrians are even known to skin men alive and hang them, okay, to incite fear in others. So he was familiar with the barbarity of the culture. Probably knew people who were affected by it being on the northern border here. And so he is not going to respond rightly to God's call. But here's the problem. Okay, here's the problem that we catch here, is that you don't get to pick and choose. Jonah doesn't get to pick and choose who hears God's message. He doesn't get to choose who's righteous. He doesn't get to choose who's ready. That's not his choice. God called him to go to the people of Nineveh. And again, we have some of this now. If we're just being honest with ourselves, I mean, there's people in this room that you may hate Republicans, or you may hate Democrats, or you may have a real issue with the LGBTQ alphabet community. You know, or you may have an issue with straight white men. You may have an issue with race. But listen, we don't have that right. We don't have that right. God has a call. His call is, you're going to go, and you're going to speak my hope in my life to people. And whether you like them or hate them has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. There's a call of God. There's a call of God. And again, Jonah didn't want to hear it. And of course, the question is, do we want to hear it? Are we hearing God's call? God sent Jonah to people that Jonah hated. Like the last people he'd want to be sent to. He'd be like, God, can't you send me to Egypt? Send me somewhere. But don't send me to Nineveh. Don't send me to the Assyrians. They don't deserve to be saved. Right? That's what he is speaking in context. Now, again, he was really serious about getting away. And as you can see in the map here, okay, he traveled probably about 50 miles to Joppa to get on a ship to run away 2,500 miles. It's like he wanted to get as far away from the call of God as he could. How far can I get away from Nineveh? How far can I move to get away from here? Now, a couple of interesting things just to catch here about Jonah's response. First is his disobedience leads him down, puts him on a downward trajectory, and it costs him something. He goes down to Joppa, he gets on a ship, he goes down in the bottom of the ship, down into the bowels of the ship, and he lays down to go to sleep. He goes down, 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 away from the presence of God. Now running from God's plan, all right, will always take you down. You run from the plan of God in your life, you're on a downward trajectory. You're headed downhill. Okay, there's no other way to speak this from happening. You know, what's happening? And again, and it's gonna cost you something, right? He had to pay the fare for this. So he's going down, and he's paying the fare. And again, so what's he going to lose here? What's he losing? Well, he certainly is losing peace of mind. Now, you're not going to have peace of mind if you're not going to do what God speaks to do. You run from God's direction, you're never going to get the relationship that you desire in your life if you're going to run from God's direction. If you're going to run from God's call, you're never going to have the strength of relationships that you desire. And if you run from God's call, it will cost you years. It'll cost you money, it'll cost you emotionally, and it'll cost you physical energy. That's what happens when you run from the call of God. And Jonah is doing his best here to run. It says here he flees from the presence of God. He's running from the presence of God. And again, this is intriguing as you look at Scripture, because it would have meant something to a Jew to read that a prophet wanted to get away from God's presence. He wanted out of God's presence. People don't want to get out of God's presence. They want to get into God's presence. I mean, when the scripture in the Old Testament talks about getting out of God's presence, it's talking about Adam and Eve when they hid from the presence of God, or Cain. Many of you know the story of Cain, who, when he, after he murdered his brother Abel, he looked to get, he was cast out from the presence of God. The fire of the Lord's judgment, when in Leviticus chapter 10, right? Again, they got out of the presence of God. It's always bad. Satan was cast out of the presence of God. It's always bad when you want to get out of the presence of God. Okay, when you're trying to escape his presence. And many of us have had times in our lives where we've tried to escape the presence of God. I mean, I know people that said they were Muslims so they could do what they wanted in God. Right? They didn't want to follow Jesus, so I'm going to be a Muslim. Or I'm just not going to believe in God anymore. You can't run from the presence of God. Okay, you just go on a downward spiral. Right? That's not going to happen. You're just going to continue to drop lower and lower and lower. Nothing good comes out of this. Disobedience to God's call leads to a downward spiral away from his presence. Okay, so we have to respond rightly to the call of God. Okay, I don't get to determine the call of God in my life. When Don and I were called to come out here to pastor, that was God who said to do that. This was not, believe me, this was not a lifelong dream of ours. This is not what God wanted. This is not what God set us up and put this in our hearts from a young age. No. No, he said, this is what you're going to do. Now, we do it with joy, right? But again, but I want you to catch that. God's call does not necessarily have anything to do with how you feel about it. And we have to, you got to be able to accept that. Can you serve a God who wants you to do some things that you don't like to do? I hope so, because that's the God that we have, right? If we're going to honor him, he's going to call us to do things that we aren't necessarily excited about. So we got to respond to the call. Next, man, we've got to respond rightly to his grace, okay? Because what happens here is Jonah, of course, gets on this ship to Tarshish. However, a storm rises up, and we're not going to take the time to read verse 4, but it says the Lord sent the storm. Who sent the storm? The Lord sent the storm. It wasn't the devil, all right? It was God. It says God sent the storm. All right, so let's look at verse 5 here. It says, then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. Here, the pagan sailors, what are they doing? They're calling out to their gods. They're calling out to their gods. They're in a storm. They're calling out for deliverance from their gods. What's the man of God doing? In the bottom of the ship, down in the bottom, sleeping. Down in the bottom, sleeping. Here's what I want you to catch. Disobedience to God will numb your sensitivity to God. When you're disobedient, you become numb, okay? And when you're numb, when you're disobedient, you do eliminate, you disqualify yourself from the blessings of God. So many of us want the blessing of God when being blatantly disobedient in other areas of our lives. Why? Again, you know, we had 6 children, and now we have the opportunity to watch our kids raise their grandchildren and go through the stuff we went through with them. Okay, and again, you know, kids cannot be blessed for disobedience. You don't walk in the Father's blessing when you disobey. But so often we believers, when again, focusing only on the love of God and not his holiness, right? We think that God should just bless us, and we have a right to claim blessing when we're blatantly disobedient in areas of our lives, right? Why should we expect blessing when walking into disobedience? And what happens too is we become desensitized. We become desensitized. Just like in our culture, we become desensitized because we're hit with so many things. We become desensitized and we start to allow actions and attitudes and behaviors in our lives we shouldn't be allowing. But just because, man, why? Because we just become numb. We become numb. And man, when we're not going to walk in God's blessing. Disobedient children don't get the Father's blessing. Man, God, help us. I want to respond to your grace. Until we rightly respond to God's call in our lives, we find ourselves, again, moving in the wrong direction. That brings us to our memory verse. This is the memory verse class, all right? It's not out of Jonah, but it's out of Proverbs. And this is the one the kids have, that if you're going to talk to them later, this is their memory verse. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you the path to take. Seek his will. See, Jonah knew God's will, right? But he ran from it, all right? And God showed him the path to take, and he went the opposite way. Okay, so if you're going to do that, do not expect the blessing of God. You want the blessing of God, seek his will, not my idea of what he should do with me, but his will, right? And he'll show us the path. He'll show us that direction going forward. Okay, this leads us now to the scene of the story that we're most familiar with, and that is Jonah being swallowed by a great fish. Okay, nobody really knows if it's, the Bible didn't specify a whale, by the way. Okay, it says he's swallowed by a great fish. And again, when you think about it, again, I just accept the story as true. You say, well, that is such a far-fetched story. How could you believe it? I believe the story because Jesus believed the story. Jesus mentions this story in the Gospels. Okay, Jesus, so if anybody asks you, how can you believe such a crazy story? Well, I believe it because Jesus did, right? That's how I responded. Jesus believed it, okay? And I also believe that Jesus rose from the dead and now lives forever after, and he's coming back on a white horse with a tattoo on his thigh, okay? That's just so you know, okay? That's what I believe. That's what I believe. Now, it said, I'm not going to get into that. He was swallowed by a fish. That's what the scripture says. Jesus confirmed it. So, but what's the fish? Think about this fish, because it says God sent the fish. God sent the fish. We're not going to take time to turn it, but God sent the fish. God sent the storm. God sent the fish. Okay, what did it do, though? I mean, really, the fish completely enveloped him, just like God's grace. God's grace completely envelops us if we allow it. God's grace protects us from the elements. I mean, Jonah was saved from drowning, right? By being in the belly of this fish. And it also saved him from the downward trajectory, right? I mean, he's in this fish. He's saved. I mean, so when you catch this, the fish and the storm were not God's punishment. It was God's grace. It was God's grace to save this man who was walking in disobedience. God goes to such lengths in his grace to win us to himself. Isn't it amazing? God's grace is that great. He'll go through all of this to save one. Man. And so it said, the problem here that we have, though, is Jonah still doesn't want to respond to God's grace properly. Doesn't want to respond here. And in chapter 2, we're going to look just a part of a prayer that Jonah had. And in this prayer, Jonah says this while he's in the fish, this scripture says. And although it appears to be, just back up one, Josh. Back up to Jonah 2:3-4, that one. Okay, so listen. In this prayer, it's a long prayer. The book's only 4 chapters. Today, before you go to bed tonight, read the whole thing, all right? But he gives us this prayer, and it sounds very pious. But really, there's no repentance in this prayer. Let's look at just verses 3 and 4. You, talking to God, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. Just hold on a moment. God didn't cast him into the deep. He put himself there. He put himself in that place. That wasn't, God's grace was saving him from himself. Right? So God did not cast him far away, right? Though it says here, I am driven away from your sight. No, you're not. You chose to run away. You chose to run away, Jonah. You're the one that ran. And then he says, I shall look again upon you from your holy temple. God doesn't want him in the temple. He wants him where? In Nineveh. He wants him in Nineveh. You don't need to be in the temple. You need to be in Nineveh. There's a scripture that hopefully some of you know that it's out of 1 Samuel 15, where it says, obedience is better than sacrifice. obeying God is better than a token sacrifice. See, God is not that impressed by you showing up this morning as he is on you obeying him tomorrow morning, right? Obedience is greater than that's the token sacrificial offering. God's not looking for a sacrificial prayer from Jonah. He's looking for his heart to be changed. That's what he wants here. So I just want to, we got to catch this. Though. I said, so God didn't throw him into the deep. Jonah put himself in that place. God's grace saved him from himself, actually, is what's happening. Man, so again, so this self-centered prayer that he has, really, and in the prayer, he mentions himself twice as much as God. All right, so again, I find these telltale things here as we look at this. Okay, so again, so we want to respond to God's grace because our way in doing our will, it can be wrong. Okay, just respond to God's grace does not give us the freedom to remain as we are and do as we please. You don't get to stay as you are and call it God's grace. God's grace is divine enablement and empowerment to carry out God's will for your life. The grace of God is about you being able to do what he's called you to do. What has he called you to do, right? Not what you want to do, right? And again, God, help us catch this. Now, what's interesting here? What's interesting here is the fish I feel kind of represents God's response to him, because it says he vomited him out of his mouth. He vomited him out of that next slide, please, Josh. He vomited him out of his mouth. The Lord spoke to the fish. Okay, it vomited. And now when I think of vomiting in the scripture, the only thing I really think of is Revelation chapter 3, where it says, those who are lukewarm, he says, I will spit you out of my mouth. I will vomit you out of my mouth. I mean, I don't think God's real pleased with Jonah on the whole here. But his grace is so great. His love is so great that he continues to reach out to him. All right? Even though he's said, so he's not listening, he gets spit out on the shore. So you got to respond to God's call, but you've got to respond to his grace. He gives us, recognize his grace in our lives, his patience with us, that we stop doing the foolish things that we're doing. Now, what goes on? Let's go forward here as we got to respond to God's heart for people. Let's look at Nineveh. So Jonah makes it to shore and makes it to Nineveh over a 500-mile trip, over a 500-mile trip to get to Nineveh. It wasn't close by, okay? And in verse 3, well, before we get there, I mean, think about this again. He's making this trip. Obviously, he started the trip. Who knows what he looked like coming out of the belly of a fish? I don't quite know what that would look like. None of us know what that would look like. All right, I'm sure it wasn't a happy sight. I'd like to think that within the first 50 miles, he got clean somewhere, right? I don't know, maybe you're bleached. I don't know what you are from the bile of a fish's stomach. I don't know what that would be. It wouldn't be good. Okay, so he gets to Nineveh. He does go to Nineveh. All right, and let's pick it up here in verse 3b in chapter 3. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. What that simply means is if you're going to cross Nineveh, it would take 3 days. Okay, it would take 3 days to get across, just because of all the checkpoints and all those things. It's a very, very large city. Jonah began to go into the city going a day's journey, one day, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh did what? They believed God. They believed God. They called for a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. Even the king of Nineveh responded. So in one day, a city that's this large, in one day, the city responds, and they literally do a corporate repentance to Jehovah God, not some false god, not one of their gods, but to Jehovah God, and the city is repenting. He preaches the word, it reaches the king, everyone. Everyone is fasting. And again, this is absolutely amazing. It's an absolutely stunning story that this city would repent. By this crazy prophet out of Israel comes and preaches, and they're responding that they're concerned God would destroy their land. And they respond. This wicked, wicked city responds. Now, there's one problem here. Jonah is upset. Jonah's not happy about this. What any preacher would have celebrated as the landmark, the most monumental moment in their lives, this amazing success of seeing a wicked city repent, of seeing this happen, Jonah is upset. He can't even have joy in what God has done. Why? Because he's not responding to the heart of God. God has a heart for people. God has a heart. His unrepentant attitude toward the Ninevites, again, combine this with his numbness, his desensitized to the call of God and the heart of God. He can't even enjoy the greatest moment of his life. He can't enjoy it. Man, and I can't help but think, listen, are we missing joy? Are we missing freedom in our lives because we're desensitized to the call of God? Because we're missing what God's trying to speak to us. And hence, we continue to walk in a brokenness because we're not seeing who he is. Okay, let's get to the end of the story. Chapter 4, verse 1. This is Jonah. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. He was angry. He was angry that this city repented. These people don't deserve it. So it says, again, what it says here in the chapter, it says he goes out to the east of the city, which is interesting because east is also the direction that Cain went out of the garden after he killed Abel and was convicted by God. And while he's waiting, God, in his grace, has a plant spring up because it's hot. He's waiting outside the city to see what will happen to the city. He's still hoping God will destroy it. He's hopeful. So God sends a plant, and it grows. It grows in one day, and it protects him. And in verse 6, it says Jonah was exceedingly happy because of the plant. But the next day, God sends a wind and a worm. The wind and the worm obey God, and it destroys the plant. And Jonah's upset. He's upset because his comfort is gone. His comfort's no longer here, so he's not happy. So it makes him upset, and he has an argument with God. And God responds in chapter 4, verse 9. Chapter 4, verse 9. It says, but God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? See, at this point, Jonah's more concerned for his own comfort than he is these people that will be lost in eternity in hell. He has not responded to the heart of God for people. God is more concerned for people than anything else on the planet. You and I. People like us. He's concerned for us. That is who he's concerned about in our lives. You know, listen, there's a reason why this is the only book in the Bible that ends with a question. It ends with a, just back that up one second, please, Josh. It ends with a question. All right? And the question is, will you have a heart for people like I have a heart for people? Or are you more concerned for your own comfort? Are you more concerned for you and your future and your immediate family? Or are you concerned for all these people that are lost? See, if we're going to walk in fullness and freedom and health, we need to have our heart's concern responding right to the things that move God's heart. God is concerned for people. He's concerned for people. And man, so the question really reigns for us today is again, am I like Jonah? Do I ignore the call of God? Am I ignoring God in my life? Now, there are times when all of us ignore God. There are times, right? Well, we all do that. But we're talking about I just want to talk about a lifestyle or a certain area of your life where you know you don't hear him. Like, I know one. Listen, this is one that most of the people, even in our own church family, okay, I know there's one area that we really struggle in responding to the call of God, and that's generous giving. You know, way under half of the people in our own church family tithe. The way under half, right? And we can say, well, it's a lack of faith, it's fear, but listen, but those things, that's disobedience. It's disobedience. But yet we want God's blessing in other areas of our lives. Or some of us, again, we know God has convicted us about the way that I love / don't love my spouse. I'm not giving them opportunity to have my blessing and my respect and my love. And you know it's wrong. But if you continue to do it, that, again, don't expect the blessing of God. Don't expect freedom in your life if you're deliberately disobeying the call of God in your life. You know, some of us have an issue too, is we only want to serve God my way. I only want to serve God in places that I feel strong and I feel able. The scripture is filled. This whole series is filled with people that did not feel strong and able, but they did what God called them to do. And again, we're called to serve. We're called to lay down our lives for one another, let alone this issue of the gospel, that we are called to care for, to represent Jesus to this culture. You are called to love your neighbors. You are called to love your family members. You're called to love those at work. You're called to love those in the highways and byways, representing and giving them an opportunity to know the goodness of God. You are called to do that. And we're all going to be called into account one day on how we respond to that. That's reality. That's a reality. See, because if we don't respond when we know there's a call, are we any different than Jonah? Are we any different? But we need to respond to the call of God. So the question today is, will you rightly respond to God's call? God's grace. Will you recognize God's grace? Some of you say, man, I wish this situation would end. I'm praying for this circumstance to end. And God's saying, I'm using this circumstance to get your attention. Because reality is, for many people, for many Christians, the only time they really pray is when they have a problem. So God, by his grace, puts some things in our lives, right? And God, will I grab your heart for people? Will I do it? So we want to learn from Jonah. And what I want you to do right now is, I'm going to ask you to stand up again, just get the blood moving again after 30 minutes. And all right? Get the blood moving here. And we just want to do some business with God. This is a message that is convicting. Okay, if it's not convicting, believe me, if this isn't convicting to you, then your heart's hardened somewhere. Your heart's hardened in some place. So God, I want you to soften me, because I want to hear your call. And God, I want to repent. God, I want to call out to you and say, forgive me for ignoring your call. Forgive me. Forgive me for not recognizing your grace in my life, that you continue to give me chance after chance after chance. You continue to reach out to me and even protect me when I don't even know it. And God, forgive me for not having a heart for the lost. Forgive me for not having a heart for the lost. Let's just pray right now. I'm just going to be silent for a few minutes. I want you just to, you have this on the board, you have this on the screen. Repent. Turn to God. What do I need to deal with? I want to learn from Jonah. Father God, I want to learn, Father. I want to learn, God. I don't want to be one who says I don't know your calling. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Father, for not having a heart for people the way you do. I'm not concerned about their destruction. Sometimes I even want to see them destroyed. Certain people. So God, forgive me. I want to respond to your call, Father. Forgive me for not responding to your call. Tell them what you're going to do about it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to make a change? What are you going to do? Because just saying a prayer doesn't do anything. What are you going to do? Are you going to, I want you to listen to God. Am I going to make that phone call? Going to reach out. Am I going to realign my finances? Am I going to make that trip? Father, we thank you for your words from Jonah. Thank you, God, for this warning. Thank you for your grace on Jonah's life, and thank you for grace on mine. But God, we want to be serious, Lord, about being people who bring honor to your name. God, I don't want to see people in bondage because of disobedience, because they just refuse to listen. Forgive. Forgive us, God. I want change in my life. You should be able to state what that change is going to be. This is what's going to happen differently. This is what's going to be different. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And as you do that again, if you're here today and you find yourself, you feel like you literally are Jonah. Carlo, you're getting baptized. Those getting baptized, go ahead and get ready. And you may feel like Jonah, like, man, I've been on the run, except I'm still on the boat. I'm still running from God. And I need to turn. I got to turn my ship around and run after God. I need to go the right direction. If that's you, we don't want you to leave today without making that decision. If you're here today saying, I've got to make a change. I know God's the answer. I've got to make a change. We want to give you that opportunity right now. If this is you, just want you again, raise your hand. Be bold. I say you got to be bold. God shows his grace to you in a great way. Don't hold back that boldness from him. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. So raise your hand. I say, because we give, amen. Appreciate that. Amen. And someone will be over to talk. If you raise your hand, someone will be over to talk to you at the close of the meeting here today. Because we've got to get this right. Okay? I want to bring honor to the King. I can't expect his blessing if I'm not going to pursue him. Amen. Let's just pray right now. Father, we come before you, God, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this brother who's saying, I got to get it right. And God, I ask, Lord, you speak life to him even now, Lord, and even as the meeting comes to a close, God, speak life. Speak life. In Jesus' name, amen.